10. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open them up and join me in John chapter 8. In today's text, Jesus describes to the religious leaders, and really to us, what genuine faith looks like. We're going to be in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 38, as we continue our journey through the gospel. I'll begin reading now in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." Please pray with me. Lord God, thank you for our chance to be gathered together and worship today. We thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for the gift of this beautiful space where we can worship. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are seated beside us. We thank you for your presence here with us as we offer you our lives in worship. We're so thankful for the gift of Scripture as well, in particular the Gospels, as we see the life and ministry of Jesus played out before us. In those words, in those pages, in those stories, we see so much of you and so much of us. And so help us in these next few minutes as we study these verses. Give us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that is strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in verse 31, we see Jesus saying, "If you hold to my teaching." And we have to ask, who is it that Jesus is teaching to at this point? We're in the midst of this long teaching discourse, but it's not just Jesus standing in front of a classroom filled with people. It's a moving crowd. And so at different times, he's addressing different people in those crowds. And it's helpful for us to know who in order to understand what his teaching actually means. We're told here that he's teaching to the Jews who had believed him. That's a different crowd than those who had put their faith in him just a verse before in verse 30. You see, those in verse 30 had actually placed their faith in him. Those in verse 31, the ones he's teaching to here, were believing some of what he said. Jesus wasn't just looking for believers. He was looking for disciples. And in the next few minutes, we're going to parse apart what the difference is between those two groups of people. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." Not just believers, but learners and followers. What's the difference? Well, the key is the word hold. Hold is translated variously as abide, dwell in, continue in, live with, all of those words meaning action. Jesus is saying that only if you hold, abide, and continue in his teaching does he consider you a disciple. In fact, he says that only by doing this will you know the truth that will set you free from your sins. What's being contrasted here is an intellectual faith alone versus a transformative faith. Jesus is seeking followers who listen, who learn, who study, who obey. Now, Jesus' audience reacts after he teaches this. They say to him, "We've never been slaves." They see no need for the freedom that Jesus is talking about. But he's speaking of a different kind of slavery, a slavery to sin. And even though they claim security that they are descendants of Abraham, Jesus is redirecting them back to the present tense, to the here and now, to the lives that they are leading in this moment. Jesus says that a slave has no permanent place in the family, though a son and daughter belongs forever. This is the promise of the discipleship that Jesus is talking about. Now, this isn't an isolated teaching. This isn't something that Jesus only teaches on this occasion in the Gospel of John. That's not what this is about. Jesus teaches this same radical commitment throughout his ministry, and a great example of that is the parable of the sower, the one that was illustrated in our video just a few moments ago. That parable is recorded in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, and it begins with Jesus speaking of a farmer sowing his seed. Do you remember how it goes? There were four possible outcomes as the seed was scattered. Remember, the seed represents the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus. Firstly, there was seed that fell on the path. And we're told that before anything could happen with that seed, the birds snatch it away. Jesus then interprets and says that Satan snatches the word as soon as it's heard. On occasion, it never has a chance to make an impact in that life. Seed also falls on rocky places. There's a bit of soil there, and so that seed springs up and yet then withers shortly after. Though faith has taken root, it has no deep roots, and it falls away. Seed also falls among thorns, and we're told in that case it grows. It makes a promising start, but then its life is choked out. Jesus says that life and its concerns can easily overwhelm a faith in God and overwhelm the impact of the Word of God in someone's life. Finally, there is seed that falls on the good soil. And when it does, it grows up and it produces a great crop that is overwhelmingly good and blesses the world around it. This, Jesus says, is faith that lasts. This is faith that holds to the teachings. This is faith that follows Jesus. Now, which of those options would fit Jesus' definition of a disciple? The one that he's talking about here in the Gospel of John? Only one. Only the good soil. And for far too long, we've pretended as if there are different levels of commitment to Jesus, and that's what makes this teaching a little bit difficult for us to digest, I think. I think for us, and it's not our fault because it's what our culture teaches us, we think, well, there's different levels of commitment you can sign up for, you know? I might look down the pew at someone else and say, oh, they're kind of like an uber Christian. They're a super Christian, you know? They've taken this really, really seriously, and so they, you know, they're disciplined in their Bible study, they're regular attenders at worship, and they actually try and live out their faith in the world, but I'm really busy, actually. So I read the Bible when I find some time, I attend worship when it's convenient, and you know, my buddy over here, it's okay though, because he's even more casual than me, and he just kind of does things every now and then and waits for me to bring back ideas about how he should live his life from the things that I've studied. We have this kind of whole array or spectrum of ideas about what it looks like to be a Christian. And we've decided that it's just up to us to prefer what we want along that scale. Maybe these people are overdoing it. Maybe this guy's underdoing it. I'm just going to find a place someplace in the middle. We have this spectrum in mind at times when we think about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and yet in reality, Jesus simply doesn't allow for that. He's calling all of us to be his disciples, and he wants all of us to be all in. But this isn't because he's a slave driver, it's because he's trying to set us free from slavery. He's trying to set us free from a life that isn't experiencing all of the blessings he intends for us, because when we take that step, when we move all in, it's only then that things begin to unfold for us, where we see the real blessings and the real freedom that he desires to bring to us. It's only when we finally lean in and commit in the way that Jesus is teaching here, as his disciple, as his follower, that we unlock the life that he came to give every single one of us. And the key to unlocking this, the key to experiencing this freedom, has to do with how we make room for his word in our lives. That's what he teaches here in today's passage. In verse 37, he talks about making room for the word. Jesus says that the reason these leaders want to kill him is that they have no room for his word. His teaching is just too radical. It reverses so much of what they've always believed. It's too difficult to digest. Sometimes no room is allowed for God's word right from the start. That would be the seeds that fall on the path. However, other times it becomes harder to make room for the word of God along the way. This is that seed among the rocks and that seed among the thorns. Where the danger lies, I believe, for the American church is that we think we can still be Christians while refusing room for his word. But remember, you are really my disciples if you hold to my teaching. Jesus is crystal clear. We must always make room for understanding, embracing, and following his word. This is what discipleship is. This is what Jesus came to bring us. Pastor Andy Stanley has an interesting illustration for this. He talks about that time when you're preparing to head out into your day and you've gotten yourself already at home and you open your front door to walk outside and it is a bright, sunny morning just like today. We've all been there, right? You walk out into the sun and there's that piercing feeling in your eyes as your eyes seek to adjust to the blinding sunlight. And in that moment, when you begin to feel that in your eyes, you have a choice. You can turn around and head back inside, bring yourself a little bit of relief, or you can choose to pause, to wait, and to allow your eyes to adjust. No matter how long we have been following after Jesus, as those who love him, those who have found freedom in him, there are going to be times where making room for his word in our lives is going to feel like walking into the bright sunshine. We're going to turn the page, we're going to read a verse, and it is going to shock us. It is going to seem too difficult. We are going to be tempted to turn around and walk back inside, to pretend that we didn't read it, we didn't see it, we didn't understand it, that it really doesn't apply to us. That's a very real temptation. Decades and decades into being a believer and a pastor myself, I would say on a regular basis, I turn a page in my Bible and something sinks in a way it hasn't before, and I make that decision. I have to decide, do I want to retreat? Do I want to wait, adjust, and embrace so that I have made the room for his word that Jesus calls me to make? I think it's actually a beautiful invitation for all of us, for us as a community together, to say that we're going to be the kind of people who embrace the word of God as difficult as it can feel at times. And even if it takes different individuals here different amounts of time to adjust, to wait for our eyes to adjust to that light, but that we're serious enough that we won't retreat, that we'll journey together, that in our Bible studies, our small groups, our friendships, our trios, that we have that opportunity to adjust so that we don't retreat from what Jesus teaches, but instead embrace it. And when the time is right, with courage, together, move forward as his disciples. This is going to be a part of our faith daily. This is an everyday experience for us. And if we find ourselves shocked or struggling with the scriptures as we go, even on a day-by-day basis, that is not a sign of weakness. That is a sign of growth. That is a sign of progress. And once again, being in a community like this is the right place to be as we do that together. I believe that's exactly what Jesus was challenging these religious leaders to do in the moment all of these years ago. And I believe this text speaks to us today to do just the same, to make room in our lives for his word so that we will choose to dwell, to abide, and to follow Jesus, each of us in our own way, as his faithful disciples today. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, help us to hear in what you teach in today's text, the beautiful invitation of freedom. At times, the only definition we sense of freedom in this world is being able to do whatever we want with no rules, nothing asking us to do anything other than what comes naturally. And yet the freedom that you offer to us runs so much deeper than that. And as we trust that you are our Savior, that you are the God of the universe, we trust when you tell us that following after you brings the freedom that our hearts were made for. And so help us. Help us to find joy in your invitation to follow. Help us to find courage and strength when we encounter requests of your discipleship that feel like they're too much or they're different than what we expected. Give us the courage it takes to wait and adjust as we encounter those teachings rather than to retreat into what we've always known. And as we make that commitment together here in community, help this community to be the kind of place where we support, love, and encourage each other on in that process. As we grow closer and closer to you, and as we live into this transformative faith that you've called us to. I pray all of these things in your name now. Amen.